Now, the Commerce Department released its third quarterly report last Thursday that showed the gross domestic product in the U.S. increased by an annualized rate of 2.6% between July and September. Those numbers suggest economic growth, and President Biden said in a statement that, quote, our economic recovery is continuing to power forward. But that increase comes after two quarters of a slight decline. Then there's the ongoing concern about global inflation. Solid job numbers all the while. We're taking a look at all the positives and negatives in economic news. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Which bit of economic news affects your life the most? Do you think we're headed for a recession? Why or why not? Do you want to see the Federal Reserve keep boosting interest rates in order to bring down inflation, even if it risks a recession? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Kevin Barros, professor of finance at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, also chief analyst for the Center for Business and Economic Insight. Kevin, welcome back to Central Time.
Rob, thanks a lot. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, some of the newest news is this GDP report. Can you remind us, what does the gross domestic product actually measure?
It is the value of goods and services produced in a time period. It's typically measured either on a quarterly basis or on an annual basis. It's pretty much usually an annualized figure that you get from the quarterly release. So the 2.6%, that's basically saying that on an annualized basis, third quarter growth was 2.6% of goods and services for the United States.
Now, the last couple of these reports were down a bit, but it seemed like some economists were saying, well, that's not as bad as it looks. Now it's up some, and economists are saying, well, that's not as good as it looks on the face of it. So what is it? Matt, is that where we are basically?
Well, it's kind of like forecasting the weather. It might rain or it might not rain. But if you look at really what's been going on this year, the first quarter results for the GDP, it was a negative GDP growth. But that one was kind of it was very unusual in that leading the negative side of that was a large influx of imports. And imports were kind of jacked up in the first quarter. You had supply chain issues to try to overcome that. In addition to that, the war between Russia and the Ukraine. So there was almost like upfronting of imports that occurred in the first quarter. And imports basically reduce or have a negative impact on U.S. economic growth because money is leaving the country as opposed to being spent in the country. So the first quarter was kind of almost, you could say, an anomaly. What has been going on since really the second quarter and into the third quarter has been a drop in investment spending, and that's commercial investment, residential investment in buildings, also in inventories. But personal consumption remains to be on the positive side. So that's really where you kind of get the mixed bag. Personal consumption remains positive. Investment is negative. And so it's, you know, sort of a plus and sort of a minus.
All right, now personal consumption staying up. It seems a little weird because we've had inflation going on. We're globally, I think, 107th highest inflation. We're in the middle of the pack, but it's noticeable. But we're still buying stuff. And I'm reading today, companies are looking at that and saying, hey, we bumped up our prices. Our costs might be going down, but people are willing to pay $5 for this box of cereal. We'll keep charging it. Could you talk about what's happening with inflation?
Yeah, inflation is kind of tough right now in terms of not only what consumers have to pay. Inflation still came in at 8.2% in the last month. So the Federal Reserve is trying to raise, well, they're not trying, they're going to raise interest rates. You can look for what's expected to be about 0.75 point bump in interest rates tomorrow, and then probably another 50 basis point increase in December. That's going to put interest rates at a level roughly what they were back in 2006, 2007. Not quite at 5%, but you're approaching 5%. The problem is, although the Federal Reserve tries to raise interest rates, lower consumer borrowing, and consequently decrease the demand for products, some of the products that have had some of the largest price increases really aren't sensitive to increases in interest rates. Food at home has gone up 13%. Well, that's not really tied into an increase in interest rates. It's kind of tied into the fact that people have to eat. So what's basically been driving the increase in food prices? Well, it's been a combination of things. It's not low interest rate. It's not low interest rates. It's not government spending, but fertilizer prices, were up significantly. Russia's supplies 15% of global exports of fertilizer. So that contributed to the spike for the increase in fertilizer prices this year. You also have Russia and the Ukraine combined accounting for 30% of global exports of wheat. Wheat prices went up about 50% between the beginning of the year and summer. Then they backed off significantly because there was a UN brokered deal with Russia to again allow grain products to flow from the Ukraine. However, Russia backed out of that in the last couple of days. So as a result, wheat futures have again spiked up between about 5 to 10% in the last couple of days. So food prices are up, not really tied to an increase in interest rates. If you look at automobile prices in the last year, they've gone up by 9.4%. Again, that's, although it could be tied to, if interest rates go up, you could see a decrease in consumer demand. But that increase in automobile prices has really been tied to the supply side. Automobile sales basically peaked in April 2021 before you have the supply chain problems. Since April 2021, vehicle sales have basically declined 25%, yet prices are up 15%. And it's related to the supply chain, the shortage of semiconductor chips. Another big area for price increases over the last 12 months, it's medical care services. So you've got some things going on that the Federal Reserve can try to, I mean, if you increase interest rates, yes, it's going to reduce consumer borrowing and demand overall, but there are some significant price increases to products that just are not interest rate sensitive.
Right. We're seeing the Federal Reserve in the U.S. try to bring down inflation with interest rates. We're seeing, you know, the European equivalent doing that and the British equivalent and so on. How much of this is a global problem that we in one particular country may not have a lot of control over?
It's a huge global problem, and a lot of it really kind of ties to what's happened globally. And a lot of it is, I should say, a significant portion is really related to what's going on with Russia and the Ukraine. You've had fertilizer prices go up. You've had wheat prices go up. You've had energy prices go up. But if you look at inflation, 30-year highs for Canada, they're right now at about 7%. For Australia, they're right now at about 7%. The euro area is flirting with about 10%. So what the United States is facing, and it's not the result of government spending, to blame it on any political party is not appropriate because, again, it's a global issue. If it was just what was going on in the United States affecting inflation, then you would not see it globally. It's a global issue because global factors have played into the increase in prices.
Talking to Kevin Barr, professor of finance at UW-Stevens Point, joining us to talk about new gross domestic product numbers showing some economic growth with a lot of yes and yes, but, and so on. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on where the economy is going? Coming up, we'll look at job numbers. Are you able to find a job? Were you able to find one if you were looking for one? Are you able to find employees if you're looking for them? Call in with your thoughts and questions about the economy, inflation, employment, and more. 800-642-1234 is your number. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Kevin Barr, professor of finance at UW-Stevens Point, with us to talk about a report from the Commerce Department that shows an increase in the latest quarter in GDP, gross domestic product, a big measurement of the economy, but not all great news out there. There's still inflation staying up high, but wait, employment looking pretty good. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How is the current state of the economy affecting you? Are you worried about what the next few months, the next year might hold? Do you have questions about what's driving inflation, labor shortages, and more? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kevin, through all of this, unemployment staying pretty low. The newest numbers out today now show an increase in job openings, it looks like. What's going on there?
The labor market has just really been hot. Right now, we have 153 million Americans employed. That is more than at any other time in the history of the United States. Job openings, it's down a little bit from, say, a few months ago, but it's still at a very relatively very high level. So the labor market continues to be very hot. And that's one of the things that the Federal Reserve is watching very closely, and they'd really like to cool off. Wage increases, what they look at is basically a three-month average. The most recent information of last month was that on an annualized basis, wages have gone up 6.2%. Well, that's dropped a little bit from the previous month, but still, that is at a high rate that the Federal Reserve is watching. And for the Federal Reserve, it's at too high of a rate. So they really would like to see the labor market cool off, but the labor market's been hot.
Now, when businesses are surveyed, it looks like a lot of them are worried about a recession. And you would think they might start cutting the number of people working for them. And you see some businesses doing that, but obviously, overall, that doesn't seem to be happening. Why aren't companies starting to cut workforce?
Well, I think it kind of goes back to some of your initial comments when we kind of kicked this off, and that is consumer spending has not decreased. I mean, if you look at the first, the second, and the third quarter, personal consumption has increased each month. So people still are going out there and spending money. So until a decrease occurs, the labor market probably will not weaken too much.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Paul is with us in Northern Illinois. Paul, hi.
Hi, Rob. Love your show.
Thanks.
I wanted to just say I wish somehow, and we know things that are sensational are the things that get our attention. And we've got a war going on over in Europe. We just got over a pandemic. And it sort of breaks my heart that politics, because people need votes, we stir up this stuff that makes it horrible. And yes, food is more expensive. Gas is more expensive. But there are good reasons for it. And I really look forward to things sort of more the optimistic approach, you know, as long as we have what we need, right?
Paul, thanks for the call. Paul looking for, I think, a longer view, Kevin. I mean, I don't know if we have a lot of great precedents, but, you know, thinking back to a World War One and an influenza outbreak, how long does it take after big shocks like this for the economy to get back to normal-ish? Are you there, Kevin? Talking to Kevin Barr, professor of finance at UW-Stevens Point. I don't know if we lost our connection there. Waiting for word here. In the meantime, you can join in with your calls at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kevin, do we have you now? I'm wondering if he's muted, maybe. If you are, Kevin, no? Okay, I think let's reestablish a connection. I will promote. We've got an interview. We're doing a series of candidate interviews in the race for Attorney General. We'll have current incumbent Attorney General Josh Call coming up for a conversation in just a little bit. And challenger Republican Eric Toney will be joining the show tomorrow. You can email right now if you have a question for the candidates for Attorney General. Key law and law enforcement position here in Wisconsin. Email ideas at WPR.org. That's ideas at WPR.org. Or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. Still trying to reestablish that connection with our guest. Okay, I think, Kevin, do we have you?
Yes, you okay. Do. Sorry about that, Rob. For whatever reason, the connection went down.
That's the internet sometimes. Okay, so the question on the table, Kevin, from our caller was, hey, can we take a long view? How long, if we have precedent for this, how long does it take to recover from things like a pandemic and the ongoing war in Europe and get the economy back to normalish?
Well, one I think big factor you just said is that ongoing war in Europe. That has, again, it's created a lot of turmoil when it comes to energy. It's created a lot of turmoil when it comes to commodity prices, to agricultural prices. So that's the big question mark. When is the war between Russia and Ukraine going to end? As far as energy prices have come down. Oil prices have come down. They peaked at about $130 a barrel earlier this year. It's back down to about $90. So oil prices have come down. They obviously are still quite a bit higher than what they were a couple of years ago. But that being said, as far as oil production has increased significantly in the last couple of years after dropping significantly because of the pandemic. Back in 2020, oil production was down about a third in early 2020 just because the price of oil declined significantly. That's come back. Profitability for oil companies has been huge. So hopefully oil production should continue to improve, and that should help energy prices in the future. And the kind of holdover from supply chain issues, I think for most companies, they're expecting that the supply chain should continue to improve, and that by the hopefully by the end of 2023, supply chain issues aren't around anymore. I think the big thing, though, is still going to be the war in the Ukraine, if that's going on or if that's ended. That would have a major impact on, depending, of course, how it ends, but that could have a major impact on bringing sort of things back to normal.
Now, the dream, the hope for the Federal Reserve is that they can raise interest rate, the interest rates, bring down inflation, and not trigger a recession. I won't ask you to predict whether or not they're going to be successful, but what, Kevin, are the key factors that may, you think, determine whether or not they can accomplish that inflation goal without slipping into recession?
Well, personally, I think one of the big factors is just food prices, because the food prices, I mean, food is something that people have to buy. I mean, if a shirt goes up, or, you know, a dress goes up by 10%, 15%, well, you can back off and decide not to buy that. Food, obviously, not so much. That's something that you have to have. So the Federal Reserve can increase interest rates to kind of back off the demand for certain products. But it's kind of like, as we talked before, some of these products aren't interest rate sensitive. So if you get behind what's driving the increase in the cost, be it new car prices, be it medical costs, be it food costs, if those factors can't subside to bring prices down, that combined with the increase in interest rates by the Federal Reserve, I mean, for example, you raise interest rates, that's definitely going to cool off the housing market. So all those factors combined can lower inflation. But again, it's more than just increasing interest rates. I mean, it's looking at other factors that affect the pricing, as we've talked about, and how that war has impacted commodity prices, agricultural prices, and energy prices. So it's kind of looking at factors that have influenced the prices of these: food prices, medical care, automobile prices.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Kevin Barr, professor of finance at UW Stevens Point. He's chief analyst for the Center for Business and Economic Insight. Kevin joined us today to talk about the latest economic news, pro and con.